the absence of the gospel reaching into the lives of young ones. And I guess, I'm going to guess that if I was to ask many of you when you got saved or when you were first introduced to the Lord, most likely it was when you were young and a child. And it's had its impact, and some of us have strayed away, and some of us, praise God, have wandered back. But I bet many of you know individuals who, if you were at least to bring it up, there's an influence of God in their life when they were young because of children's ministry, young life, you know, VBS outreaches, those type of things that happen to children, and reach out to children with the gospel. So we're praying for our children's ministry. Family Promise is a local ministry we support and are part of around here in the Valley. This is our week to participate, to volunteer, to get involved. And some of you have already stepped up to help us out this coming week with preparing meals and taking it down to the housing, the transitional housing that we have partnered with in Family Promise. But we have two nights that are still needed for meals to be covered. That's a Thursday night and a Saturday night. And it involves preparing a meal. It involves taking it down there at 6:30 and blessing the families that are displaced right now. And you can get more information by calling the office, by talking to Deanna or talking to Michelle, who's in the back there, about Family Promise. But our two nights that we still need to fill this week are Thursday night and Saturday night. The only other thing I want to announce before we pray for our tithe and offering is we are praying for Reverend Peggy Harvey Morrows of Grace Lutheran Church here in the Valley. One of the things that I love that we do around here is that we pray for local churches, and we pray for them weekly. And every week, Pastor Mike and I sign a little card and send out a blessing to let them know we're praying for them, but then inviting you guys to also pray for them as a family is important to us. And so Grace Lutheran Church, Reverend Peggy up there, and then our missionaries this week are Paul and Stephanie Wendler, as we pray for our missionaries. And so we're going to pray for them in the midst of praying for our tithe and offering, and then we're going to invite Jim up to share about the Bible Institute, right? Lewis Clark Bible Institute? Yeah. So, ushers, why don't you come on forward? Would you bow your hearts and get your offerings ready this morning? And we're just going to take a moment and pray. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you that, again, as we stand in the place of knowing you are here, you are with us, you are for us, that we would be moved by you, Holy Spirit, to intercede on behalf of what you're doing in our valley through the pastors and our shepherds. We bless Pastor Peggy up there at Grace Lutheran Church. We bless the flock that she's called to lead. We bless her family. And we just thank you that, Lord, as she has been given a call and a purpose in your name, that, Lord, any attempts of the enemy to distract or hinder that work would be exposed and removed right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for Paul and Stephanie, our missionaries who have been called to minister the gospel overseas. And so we bless them in the name of Jesus, strengthen them. Father, for the need here in our local church to see volunteers step up with Family Promise, to see children's ministry come to life, Lord, to see Bible studies and discipleship take place. Again, we just thank you, Lord, that you would move upon our heart, that you would take the gifts that you've given us and make them apparent to where we need to address them and put them into service in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for this morning's offering. We pray for the stewardship and the elders of this body to direct the funds to see the gospel of Jesus Christ promoted throughout our city, our region, and to the ends of the earth in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Bless the ushers as they come around. And this morning, would you welcome Jim Bromling? And he's going to share this morning a little bit about what God is doing in our valley with a local Bible college. Come on up, Jim.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation to share a few minutes with you today. As Jeff said, my name is Jim Bromling, and I'm a graduate of the Lewis Clark Bible Institute with a certificate in Foundational Church Ministries as well as Standard Church Ministries. On January 22nd, 2019, the LCBI begins the second semester of their third year offering Christian adult classes at the campus of the Lewis Clark State College. It's actually at LC State. Unfortunately, LCBI is the best kept secret in the Valley, and hopefully we can change that a little bit starting today. The Bible Institute is a non-denominational, community-based ministry designed to equip followers of Jesus Christ for ministry in their home, at work, in their community, and yes, even at church. Let me ask you a couple questions. How do you know? How do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that our Bible is true? Okay, you can come up here. How do we know and how do we defend a book that was written over a period of 1,500 years? It was written on three continents. It was written in three languages. It's made up of 66 books written by 40 different distinctive and different authors. It was written by kings. It was written by peasants. It was written by physicians and fishermen and even a tax collector. It was written from palaces. And yeah, it was even written from prisons. Then the Bible was translated and copied over 2,000 years to the Bible we have today. How do we know that our Bible is real? That it is the breathed and inspired word of God and not just a really nice table decoration? Unfortunately, churches and Sunday schools teach Bible stories. They're not real good at teaching the Bible. A couple more questions. How do we know for sure that the Jesus we worship is who he says he is? Many religions acknowledge him as a rabbi, as a teacher, getting to the Son of God. Sorry, most of them can't get there. How do we share Jesus with a millennial or a Gen X where it's an effort just to get through dinner with them? This is the part I love, and I'm going to throw Jeff under a bus here. Who was Cain's wife? Cain, Abel, Adam, Eve. Cain killed Abel. Who was Cain's wife? LCBI classes are offered on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. The classes last about an hour and 15 minutes, and the classes are taught by college-level professors, and they are college-level courses. Most of the teachers have master's and doctor's degree, so they are not for the faint of heart. The cost of each class is $35, and you can decide your participation level. You can go for the certification, as I have done, or you can sit and take it with no effort if that's what you desire. If personal Bible study or home groups or Sunday school worship leaves you lacking, I challenge you to take a class or two at the Lewis Clark Valley Bible Institute, the best kept secret in the valley. Finally, I'll be around a little while after worship, and I can give you the class schedules and give you the enrollment forms and answer any questions that you might have. The LCBI also covets your financial support or the church's financial support if that's something that you or your elders decide that it is worthy. But I do want to thank you so much to give you the opportunity of what we do, what we are, and we hope that you'll jump on board with us and support the LC Valley Bible Institute. Thank you very much. God bless. Happy New Year.
Thanks, Jim. Wow, it's been an adventure today, hasn't it? But you know what? That's what 2019 is going to be, so let's just go after it. Let's do it. Thank you, Jim. Thanks for coming. Thank you for worshiping with us. And your wife, Cheryl? Sherry, I close, eh? If you have your Bibles, let's do this. I'm about, Lord willing, 20 minutes. Can you give me 20 minutes? Can you give me 22 minutes? Hey, give me 25, 5. Oh, sorry, no, I'm joking. Our anthem for 2019 is Let's Go. Say it with me, would you? Let's go. Let's go. And this is not just church. This is our lives. This is a building. This is just a tool. That's all it is. We're grateful for this building, but this is not the church. We are. And so when we're saying let's go, it's let's go with everything God has for us. And so Pastor Jeff and I, we have been meeting for the last 2 years. Unless we're all gone on vacation, about every week we would meet and we're spending time together. And you know, it's a lot different being friends, but also when you start living together, it's a lot different than when just being friends. And so Jeff and I, we have been spending an intense amount of time just getting to know each other. Because you can say hi at church, how you doing? But when you move into somebody's house, the relationship goes to a whole new level. And so for the last 2 years, especially since August, we have intentionally been spending time to know each other, know each other's heart, get to know each other's personality, what our gifts are, what are, you know, what are our strengths, what are our weaknesses, what are our history. And I just want to tell you guys, the more I get to know Jeff Chavez, the more I love this guy. You know, we've talked about it, good looking from afar, but far from good looking. Jeff is a good looking guy when it comes to Jesus, right? Yeah, amen. Yeah, yeah. And he leads the applause, right? And so we are in a journey. Now, he and I have been talking about specific next steps. And we've got some very specific next steps that we're going after. And we've been incorporating, folding in our leadership, our board, our his council, and then the next layer of leadership. And then we're going to be expanding that starting this month. Each month, we just want to expand. What does Let's Go look like? But some of the stuff right now, it's not going to incorporate a lot of people because we need to work on our constitution and bylaws. We're going to work on some financial, how do we navigate our finances? How are we going to do structured government? And that's not a whole bunch of people. So what we don't want to have happen is we go, let's go, and we go, yeah, and then we just sit in a pew for another 6 months, right? It's like, I mean, the let's go has been the response when we've been sharing. You guys are, yeah, let's go, and then it's okay, let's do nothing. And we've been praying about how can we all embrace Let's Go. And there's a step that we have to take that we cannot miss. I say this with everything that's within me, with all the sincerity. You guys know me. I'm not over-dramatizing. I really with all the heart. This is a Let's Go for everyone that if we don't do this part, nothing else matters. Okay? And here's what it is. You ready? It's not going to be profound, but here it is. It's prayer. We can all embrace prayer. And I can't overemphasize enough that for us to fulfill God's purposes through our church to bless our valley and beyond, prayer has to be the foundation stone of everything we do. And that might seem very common. That might seem, oh, duh. But the reality of it is that prayer can be an overstep. We can overstep prayer to get onto what's next step. Let's do something. Let's move. We're going to move. We are. But we have got to get this foundation of prayer solidly put into our lives, not only for now, but through the rest of this journey. Because this prayer is not just for us to do something here. This prayer is for us to connect for God's purposes in and through our lives. Someone say yeah. Just say yeah. Yes and amen. This morning, for the next few moments, there's three major interventions that God took place in a short amount of time. One was the birth of Christ. Second was the death of Christ. And the third was the beginning of the church in the book of Acts. These were let's go moments for God, where God, who's outside of time, stepped into time with the person of his son. And you have to look, but I want to connect some dots here. So if you'll go with me to the first one, Luke chapter 2, that God is acting and moving. And so the thought I want to share with you today is this: let's go, but wait. So it's let's go, but we got to wait. And there are three instances where God has a go time, but there's also waiting taking place in the midst of that. And so in Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 38, okay, I'm looking at the clock, 25 to 38. This is our first picture of God's go time, but there were people that were engaged with it in prayer. So in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, it says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout." Here's our word. "He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, in the light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory to your people Israel.'" So Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That he, Holy Spirit had revealed that God's go time was going to take place in his life. And so he is waiting, but the word waiting doesn't mean like this. He's sitting against the temple wall with his arms and legs crossed going, maybe one day it'll happen. This waiting was an active waiting where he was engaged in what he was waiting for with an expectancy. And what it, the scripture seems to indicate, because Luke ties in Simeon and Anna, who's a prophetess, that they weren't just kind of waiting around. They were waiting with an expectation that was expressed through prayer. In the mystery of God, God says, I'm going to do something, and then he looks for people who will pray into what he wants to do. He's looking for individuals who say, I see what you're doing, but I'm not going to see it from a distance. I'm going to actively, let's go. I'm going to actively engage in what you're doing, and I'm going to do it through prayer. Anna the prophetess was the next person. She had been married for 7 years, and now either 84 years afterwards, or she is 84. And the Bible says she was at the temple praying and fasting. What for? For God's purposes and plans to take place in the nation of Israel. So that when Jesus was being held up by Simeon, Anna comes up at that time, and she begins to declare and proclaim who Christ is. Dear ones, let's go. Let's go, right? And we are going to take action steps. But the first step we have to take is like Simeon and Anna, that we are not waiting for God to do something in our lives, but we are actively engaging in what God wants to do in our lives through prayer. Stay with me. Let's go. Quickly. Let's go to the second one. Luke chapter 22. This is another go moment for God, where he is going to take the whole religious system of Israel and create a whole new covenant. And that covenant comes from the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But what is Jesus doing? In Luke 22 and also in Matthew chapter 26, we know at the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is going away, and what is he going to do? He's going to go pray. He asks Peter, James, and John, he says, come with me. And in Matthew, it says, stay with me. And the word stay with me, or that thought, is this word meno, M-E-N-O. It means to wait with me, be present with me, abide with me, stay in relationship with me, stay here with me and pray. We understand what happens. The disciples, they don't pray. Luke says in Luke 22 that because of sorrow, they are overwhelmed with sorrow, that they fall asleep. They're exhausted because of sorrow. And Jesus invites them into a prayer relationship, and he says this, pray lest you fall into temptation. Now, Jesus knew that he was going to the cross. This wasn't a surprise to Jesus. Jesus wasn't like, oh man, I'm in trouble, didn't see it coming. Jesus had prophesied before that the Son of Man will die, on the third day he'll rise from the grave. He told it all the time, and now it's go time. Now it's the time for him to die for the sins of all humankind. So it's go time, and what is he doing? He's praying. Why does Jesus have to pray if he knows it's God's will? I think his words gives us an indication. Pray lest you fall into temptation. Hebrews 4 says that Jesus was tempted like we are, like all human beings, yet without sin. The disciples pray lest you fall into temptation. The temptation of the disciples was not this, I think I'm going to go get a beer and get drunk. The temptation of the disciples is, I think I'm going to find another woman besides my wife and sleep with her. That's not the temptation. What is the temptation of the disciples? That they are not going to stay in, be present with the Lord. They're not going to stay in relationship. And instead, they're going to operate out of fear. And their decision and their motives are fear-based and not faith-based. Jesus prayed. Jesus stayed in that place of relationship with his Father. How do we know that? He says this, not my will, your will be done. Jesus, who was tempted like we are to step into faith, out of faith into fear, he is now saying, God, I am staying in this place of relationship with you. I'm abiding in you even now, even though this is the most torturous thing I have to go through. I will not step out of relationship with you, but I'm staying in love relationship with you, Father, to now where the event happens, the response of the disciples and the response of Jesus were totally different. Jesus stayed in relationship. The disciples moved into fear. And what do? Peter cuts off a guy's ear. They all scatter. The scripture seems to indicate, dear ones, that the disciples could have had a different choice if only they would have prayed. The outcome of that moment could have been different if they would have prayed. Thank you. Two main motivators in life, faith or fear. Excuse me, reverse that. Wrong. Two main motivators in life, love or fear. Love motivates or fear motivates. And dear ones, as we are praying and we're going after this, I have discovered that we can live in fear for so long that we don't even realize it's fear anymore. Anxiety, worry. I'm just worried. I'm stressed. I'm just worried about life. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm stressed out. Wait a sec. Hold on. Wait. Lest you fall into temptation. Pray. I've asked people, I've been a pastor for a lot of years, and I've asked this question often in their lives. Hey, how's your time with the Lord? How's your prayer time? How's that? And primarily the answer in 30 years have been this: I should spend more time. I'm too busy. It's usually a time relevant thing that I should spend more time. And I'm coming to this conclusion: time is important, but it's not the key factor. Not the key factor. It's, do we pray enough? Relationship, stay in relationship, abide in Christ to the point that when we face life situations, we are not motivated by fear, but we're motivated by love no matter what's in front of us. We have to pray until we can face a situation not in fear, but in love. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:13, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. That God is always developing in our lives faith, hope, and love. That whatever's taking place out here, he wants to develop within here faith, hope, and love. So prayer is not how much time I spend. Prayer is the time spent so that I can maintain faith, hope, and love. How do we do this? We abide. If you abide in me and my word abides in you. This is the word that is used here in Matthew 28. If you abide in me and my word abides in you. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 7, apart from me, you can do nothing. A branch must abide, must remain in the vine. If you do this, you will be able to do what I've called you to do. But we've got to remain. So prayer is not so much petition, God do this, God do this, God do this. Prayer is our ability to stay in place with God and not be motivated by any other thing besides love and faith and hope. See, guys, this thing of prayer that we're calling to, what's our future hold? If that creates faith, you need to increase prayer. Prayer is not just saying the words. Prayer is staying connected. Say, Father, I'm staying connected with you until I can face that, and I'm not afraid. Mike, do you have fears? Absolutely, I do. But I don't want fear to be the motivation. Because if we're motivated by fear, it's wrong, no matter if we do the right thing. Man, I can go off of it. Look at our world. You know what the bottom line with our problem with our world is? It's fear-based. It's everything's fear-based. Let's build a wall. Oh, man, let me step off that one real quick. Let me step away. Anyways, I can go off. Let me just, let's build a wall. Let's take that off the tape. We are on a journey. And the word that was given to us is that we're explorers. Explorers know there's something there, but we have never seen it. We know it's there. Lewis and Clark, something's there, go discover it. That's what we're trying to go after. We know something that the church is supposed to look like something that it doesn't look like now. And we're speaking for us. We're not speaking for anybody else, for us. There are things that Jesus said, here's what my church will look like that we're not experiencing. So let's go. Let's go, but you can't go. We can't go to a seminar to discover it. It is something that we're going to have to really connect with the Father and just trust his shepherding to lead us. I'm 55 years old. At this point in my life, I should be slowing down and thinking about retirement. Who said, that was a great word, right? Thank you. I look pretty good for 55. I still have some hair. Thank you, Jesus. It's not slowing down. It's go. Let's go. But we can't go and fit into a pattern. We have to go into this place of prayer, saying, God, for our lives, it's not just, it's us, our lives. God, you've got a destiny and a purpose and a plan for my life. And God, I'm not going to discover it through a seminar. I'm going to discover it through relationship. And what's going to keep us from stepping? Fear. That thing's got to be wrestled to the ground. How is it wrestled to the ground? Perfect love casts out all fear. Oh, look at the lad. You know what he's upset with? He can't see because of the things over his eyes. He wants to see pops. Come on, man. Here's our last let's go. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Go there real quick. Everybody okay? I'm glad you are. Acts chapter 1. You know what? If somebody said no, I don't know what I'd do with that. If someone goes, oh, I'm awful. Okay. Thank you for saying yes. Let's go, but we got to wait. Waiting is not standing around. Waiting is actively praying. In Acts chapter 1, verse 1, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Let's pause there for a moment. So for 40 days, Jesus dies, rises from the dead, and for 40 days, he appears to disciples and others. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that at one time, he appeared to over 500 of the brothers at one time. He appeared to Peter and then the rest of the disciples or apostles, to 500 people, then to James, which was probably Jesus' half-brother at that time, and then finally to Paul. So Jesus appears to people who already were believers when he walked the earth before his death. He appears to them. He doesn't show himself to the world. He shows himself to those who were his followers while before his death and resurrection, and he proves, I'm alive. He shows them. What he does, we don't know for sure, but he proves his existence. We do know that with the disciples, he appeared in the upper room. But here's what I want to catch on verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, I love that. Jesus says, hey, let's have dinner. Isn't that cool? We need to have more dinners. We need to be in the way. You know, we just need to, amen. He gave this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but, say the word with me, but wait. It's that word we've been looking at, meno, M-E-N-O, to abide, to be present, to stay in a certain place, a certain condition, to stay in this relationship. But Jesus, it's the only time found in the New Testament, he does a prefix, P-E-R-I, perimeno. And here's what it means. It means this. No matter how difficult it is, no matter how much of a challenge it is, be in relationship with me. Think about it. How are these disciples, are they working? How are they paying their bills? How are they getting any food? How are they? Jesus said, wait. For the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Perimeno, remain. Stay in a given place. No matter what the cost, no matter how difficult it is, no matter what the challenge is, the importance of you waiting for the gift to come, for you to be able to accomplish what I have called you to do, will not happen without waiting. Even if it's difficult, even if it's a challenge, even if it's hard, wait, stay in that place, stay in that relationship, stay, continue, dwell, be present. No matter what, this has to happen. And we know that 10 days later on the day of Pentecost, which is 50, at the feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples and the 120 who had gathered, and Peter began to preach, and 3,000 people got saved in one setting. Why? Because they waited. Well, how did they wait? Were they sitting in an upper room? Were they just hanging out? What were they doing? Verse 14 tells us, says this, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. They were together, one mind, unanimously, same passion. They were together. They did not break apart. They did not go in different directions. They didn't follow different ideas or thoughts. The command was, no matter what it costs you, be together. Stay together. How do we do this, Jesus? Prayer. And each time you can see it historically, you can find it biblically. When God starts a let's go moment, there's always prayer that doesn't just accompany it, it lays the way for it. Our valley has had 1% growth for a long time. How many senses in your heart there's more for this valley than what we're currently experiencing? We can all say that, right? We just sense it. We feel it. The reason why you God has called you here is not just a place to live. He's called you here as kingdom people to lay the way for God to do something in and through this valley that it's his dream and his heart for this place. And dear family, for us to see it happen, I am convinced of this. This is let's go God's time. It's through prayer. One of the challenges, hey, Mike, I work nights. I work this, you know, a schedule. You know what? We've got phones that we can text somebody and say, every day, would you agree with me today about this? See, let's go. Being together doesn't mean we have to be in the same space, but it can mean we can be in the same heart. So I have a friend of mine who wants to get up. Well, this is a number of years ago. He felt like the Lord called him to get up early in the morning to pray, and he slept through his alarm every time. So what he did, he had a friend, and he said, would you call me at 4:30 in the morning? I'll have to answer my phone, and we'll agree together over the phone. Phone would ring. What are we agreeing about today? They prayed about family. They prayed about, you can text, you can Facebook, you can email, you can join with us on Wednesday nights. We pray. You can start your own prayer gatherings, two or three. All we need is two or three touching anything. It shall be done by my Father in heaven. I mean, dear ones, it's this coming into togetherness through prayer. That it's not about personality, it's not styles of worship, it's not who preaches better or worse, it's not about that. It is about being together in prayer, that the God of the universe unites our hearts because we're praying with each other. If you don't know how to pray, we'll teach you. Let's just don't assume you know how. When I first started, I prayed everything I knew in 2 minutes. Now what do you do? Because I was taught you got to pray for an hour. I had 58 stinking minutes to go. And so I did a lot of nothing. I've had to learn how to pray. And my Father's still teaching me how to pray. He's still teaching me how to be present with him. He's still teaching me the value that life is not about how much I get done. It's how much time I spend with him, and then he works through me. One man said this about, I think I read it in a commentary or someone told me, they looked at Jesus' life, and he went from prayer place to prayer place to prayer place, and in between, he did miracles and loved people. But God, the Son, often withdrew to lonely places. You think about that. He's God. Why does he have to pray about? He's God. Before choosing the disciples, he went up to a mount, and he spent all night praying. What is he doing? He's being present with his Father, just like we have to be present with the Father. Is okay? Someone please don't say no. Let's go. Commit to 5 minutes a day. Commit. Just say, God, let's go. Many of you pray more than that, but let's just say 5 minutes. So we got 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. We've got a number of hours being prayed if we all just commit to 5 minutes a day of saying, God, we want to follow your purposes and plans. We hear the let's go. Now we're praying it forward. We're praying into what you want to do. And we're committing ourselves in 2019. Let's go. Mike, I've tried to pray and I just always, no, let's go. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. Let's go. If you need someone to help you, we'll encourage you. We'll strengthen you. We'll give you things to pray about. We can help in any, many ways, but we can't pray for you. That's what you have to do with your Father, who loves to spend time with you. Mike, I'm busy, right? The number one challenge of prayer is busyness. I've seen retired people who I think they'd have all the time in the world. They're more busy now than they were before they were retired. Our let's go moment is here for 2019, and we are going to do our best to communicate. We're going to communicate, let you know next steps. We're inviting more people to come be a part of this decision-making process. Come. But the number one thing we have got to have from everyone is, Father, in Jesus' name, your purposes, your plans be done. The psalmist said, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. Dear ones, unless the Lord, but isn't that awesome? I've got probably another 15 years or so. I don't want to be involved in something if the Father's not building it. What a waste of life that is. Who wants to be doing something where he goes, oh, that was a waste? Who wants to spend their time doing that? But I want to invest in what God is doing. And as he builds the house, it's going to be glorious. And the house is us. So let me ask you this today. We got 2 minutes before 12. I did pretty well. Thank you. You know, preachers, they can go on and on and on. Just one more closing. Let's go. Let's engage in prayer. Let's go. Let's go. Everybody can do this. Everyone can engage in this, where we commit our hearts to praying. We commit our hearts to learning. We commit our hearts to being together. Tonight, beautiful. Tonight, 6 o'clock, we got service. And what I love, what we're going to do at Hope, we're going to worship the Lord. And then we're going to scatter throughout this building, and we're going to once again dedicate it to whatever the Father's purposes and plans are. We're going to pray over every room. We're going to ask that each child, the children, will be filled with people learning about Jesus. We're going to the gym. God, what's your plan for the gym? We're going to be praying the sanctuary. We're going to be praying for the fireside room. Every place, God, what do you have with us? Was it three or four years ago when we offered this building, we said, God, you can do whatever you want with this building. Since that time, things have been moving because we gave everything to God. Well, we're re-upping for 2019. We're saying, God, one more year. As long as you want us here, whatever you want to do with this, but all it is a tool. The people are important. So join with us, 6 o'clock. We're going to worship the Lord, and we're going to do that. You say, Mike, I got to get up for work. I can't. Oh, then at some time, be praying, just engaging. Husbands and wives, agree. Friends, agree. It's just this place of being together in prayer. We need. Anyways, I'm done. I could go on. So let's activate it. Would you stand with me this morning? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I can tell you what you can do. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. That's your prayer. You don't have to beg. You don't have to whimper. You don't have to please, please. He has already paid for all of our sins at the cross, past, present, and future. Every sin you will ever commit has already been paid for at Calvary. Someone says amen to that. So it's not like he's waiting to forgive us. Ask, you got to ask. Come on, he's already forgiven. What he wants us to do is to come into agreement, alignment with what he's already done. So if you have not a place of relationship with Jesus Christ, that's your prayer. Secondly, how many will say, hey, we're going to commit to this step? Maybe you already pray for an amount of time. That's great. Could you just say, Lord, I'm going to intentionally engage you more for your plans and purposes, not just here, but through this valley and beyond. God has a plan for this valley. He's got a great plan for this valley, and we want to see it happen. Not just our church. That's why we pray for other churches. It's not just us. It's the whole church of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to be bold. If you can't right now, then just pray about it. If you can't commit, then ask the Lord to help you commit. But how many will just say, Mike, I'm going to agree with Pastor Jeff and yourself that we're going to pray for the purposes of God to be done in this valley. And through this, this is our home church. This is through us. Okay? How many of you say, I don't want to commit to that? Yeah, we're going to have another meeting, I think. Yeah. You're not doing well either, are you? Let's don't skip the step. So Pastor Jeff and I, we're in strategize right now about how can we gather together for worship and prayer. How can we, because this is a big deal what's going on. This is a huge deal. And it's not going to be church as normal. There'll be components that are similar, but this isn't going to be church as normal. And we've got to commit ourselves to the kingdom purposes the Father has. The best way I know is through prayer. And then through prayer, we get the Father's strategy and we say yes, whatever he wants to do. This morning, I say preachers keep going and then I keep going. Wow. Give me a grace for one more minute. Am I out of time? Okay. Give me grace for one more minute. I was walking this morning and praying, and this verse about not my will, but your will be done. And how easy that flows from the lips, but how deep of a commitment of heart to the trusting the Father to saying, I don't care. Whatever you want, I say yes to. Whatever you say, I say yes to. And he already shows us in his word what we're to say yes to. And the main thing is love. The Father, we commit ourselves, 2019, let's go, wait. It's not waiting to see if something happens. It's intentionally investing our lives in prayer. Simeon and Anna, they invested their lives in prayer so that when the answer came, there were hundreds, if not thousands, of people at the temple, but they saw the salvation of the Lord. The disciples were encouraged, come, wait with me and pray. And Lord, thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for 100 chances. Thank you for that. But in that moment, they fell into temptation, and the reason was prayerlessness. The church began not through a strategy session, but through prayer. And it seems, as I read the book of Acts, Father, the disciples are just praying, fellowshipping, and obeying. And I pray, Lord, some of the components that we see in the early church where they met together and broke bread and they prayed and they listened to the apostles' teaching and they had fellowship, that that would be restored into the body of Christ. And though it might look differently in 2019, the foundation of that, I believe, never changes. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, it might seem ABC 1, 2, 3, but it's critical and crucial to your plans and purposes. Let us, Father, our hearts remain, abide, be present, stay in relationship, and let us not give in to temptation to move in fear, worry, anxiety, doubt, but let us pray and stay in faith, in hope, in love. And Lord, when we are struggling, let us call a brother or sister and say, pray with me, agree with me, stay with me, help me. As Galatians 6 says, we are to bind ourselves to each other and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let us be people, Lord God, who don't judge or condemn. Let us be people who love and say, I'm with you. I'm praying with you no matter what. Because we're never alone. We're together. In Jesus' name. Would you agree with me by saying yes and amen? Amen. Tonight, 6, Mary, say it real loud. You're filling in the blanks in our lives. Somebody say yes and amen to that. Yeah. Amen. I do too. Can we give the Lord a praise? So, Father, thank you. Do you have something? Yeah. Before we go, Jesse and Amy, as our dear son-in-law and daughter, are moving to Las Vegas. Forgive me for this, it sucks. Okay? So this potentially probably Jesse's last Sunday with us, and we're still working on moving. But I know you guys have loved our kids and prayed for them. I've waited to this moment because if I told you before the sermon, you wouldn't have heard a word I said, right? But we want to bless them, and we just want to honor God, what God's doing in their lives. And so we've got Bennett and Noah and Simon, and we just want to bless them. So would you extend your hand this way, and I'm going to come over and be closer to you guys. Ah, don't cry. Stop it. If you guys want to come, you can. Come on. You guys want to come. Father, we love, and the reason it hurts so much is because we love. And we bless. We bless Jesse. We bless Amy, Bennett, Noah, and Simon. And Father, in Jesus' name, go before them. Be their rear guard. Be that voice beside them that says, walk this way. I'm right here. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, we do, this family that loves, we pray, God, for just rich blessings upon their lives. And we release them, God, into your purposes and plans with great confidence in who you are in them. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I'm a mess. Go home. Love, you guys are loved. You're loved. You're dearly loved.